This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, I'm Murray here, one half of the NBA team. This is part four of the Gone Fishing series. This one's for the hardcores. We'll be still in the East. And, look, don't hate me. Like, I last year I sprinkled them all through. This year, I just dumped them all in one little pile. So, we got Atlanta, Chicago, Charlotte, the Knicks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look, not all these teams are terrible, but... Okay, they're all terrible, except for Charlotte, who had to have a super year by Kemba Walker just to be terrible. So, enjoy it. This is part four of six, so, and they all, I got nothing. Sorry. Enjoy the show.
Hawks spread the floor. Kevin Huerter, the man to get him in, and Tony Brown reminding DJ Wilson he cannot come over that line. Crowd standing. Huerter gets it in. Kevin looking. Lob to the basket. Poked away. Trey! It's locked in! And the Hawks win it! Trey Young and a deflected ball. Picks it up. Flips it in. And Atlanta's got the victory.
All right, Adam, the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this team is kind of interesting because, yes, they were basement dwellers. Yes, they had their first year without Mike Budenholzer. Lloyd Pierce took over as the head coach. And, yes, they were really, really bad, 29-53. But Trae Young, in the second half of his rookie year, sort of blossomed into an above-average point guard, which sort of gave a little bit – it put a little bit of lipstick on a corpse.
Hashtag Bruno Caboclo.
Okay, what about Bruno
this
Caboclo?
Team is 2 years away from being 2 years away. They are in the basement. There is nobody. You read about, like, well, who was their good? Collins overachieved. We all know Collins is a good.
I don't think he overachieved. I think he's just really good.
Yeah, but he's not a star piece. He's a complimentary asset.
Oh, yeah, I think he's the new Anton Jameson.
Torian Prince, he was there, but he didn't take that next step. They're going all in on Trae Young. And after that, the team had absolutely nothing. You have, you know, Bazemore, who's making $17 million, and he's just stuck there. You have Vince Carter, who's there just because he loves the game.
He had more fanfare for his podcast on The Ringer than he probably did playing games, to be honest with
you. Yeah, so you have nobody there. You have no prospects. You have no anything. This team has two top 10 picks. You're still not going to make a dent next year, and they're still going to be in the bottom three. And the year after that, they're still going to be probably bothering. They're the East Coast Phoenix Suns. They have nothing. I find nothing good with this team. Well, they had, you know, Kevin Huerter hit a few threes, and he wasn't terrible. And Young was good the second half. Well, yeah, but his defense, he's never going to be a defensive powerhouse being undersized. And
you're condescending all that, like I was about to say all the same things.
And Michael, you know, it's like Trae Young is just like, you did the same thing with Michael Carter Williams, was go ahead, shoot 50 shots. We don't have any plan. And so, is he developing bad habits? Possible, why? Because there's nobody else for him to work with. And again, I say 2 years from being 2 years.
Yes, well, possibly, the Trae Young might wind up being actually an elite point guard. The only thing I'll say is this. Here's the one thing I found interesting about them. They were first in pace. You know how sometimes we've always talked about how, you know, Brooklyn went through this with Kenny Atkinson. When you're really bad, there's really no consequence of playing slow or playing fast, so because you're not trying to implement a strategy, so you're just trying to just see what anybody can do. Philadelphia did the same thing. So it didn't surprise me that they played fast, but they played at a breakneck pace, because we talk about all the time how the NBA is starting to – has gone the way of offense and gone the way of quickening the pace, and the Hawks were number one in that, so in number of possessions. That also leads to the fact that they were really bad on defense, dead last in points allowed. They were dead last in fouling people and turnovers, so that kind of led to the multiple possessions. A lot of scatterbrain games. The only other thing I found interesting was that they were 12th in points per game, but they were 23rd in efficiency.
Yeah, so they were just, they fielded a team. And yeah, they thought, well, we could just tank and we'll just punt this year and get the number one pick. And yeah, you didn't do it.
They got the 8th pick and the 10th pick, I want to say.
Yeah, your team isn't, they're not good. They're not watchable. They're not, you have, well, there's so much young talent to develop. Well, then start developing somebody. Don't just hand it to Trae Young and go, okay, go at it.
I think because of Young and Collins, they're semi-watchable. They're like league pass.
You can say they're semi-watchable, but you have Bembry. You have Green. You have Hero Horder. You have, yeah, they signed Alex Len to a 2-year deal.
Feltman has played a little bit as a rookie.
But where were these guys? They were all nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. So are we going to see any improvement from any of these guys next year? Well, we hope so, but this year was just a very tough go for the dozens of Hawks fans.
Why did they re-sign Alex Len?
They're the only one to offer him something.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't much. I mean, and then they have the team option in 2020. Dwayne Dedmon, now let's, before I get to Dedmon, I'll just stay on Len for a second. Did you feel like he actually showed his best basketball versus like when he was with the Suns?
That's not saying much.
Okay. Dwayne Dedmon, he's an unrestricted free agent for the second year in a row. Do they re-sign him again?
Somebody's going to offer him a little more this year than that, because
yeah, don't forget, 7.5 rebounds, a steal, and a block, which ain't bad.
Last year, nobody had cap space. Mm-hmm. So everybody just shut down. This year, lots of the roster spots are open. Okay, I will say this about Atlanta.
Okay.
With that roster, they looked like they should win 5 games. They didn't. They won a lot more than that. So I guess we could give them credit for winning games. It's just, I don't see how.
I think the Bazemore contract was a killer. I mean, when they desperately needed to make improvements, they just couldn't do it because they had that contract in the way.
I don't see how, you know, any of these guys are sort of cornerstones to a super franchise team. Like, how you're going to build the next Warriors with, you know, young Collins, and you're still 2 years away. You need to add a ton more pieces.
But even with Bazemore's contract, they're at $60 million in used cap. So they're still at 40. They still got $40 million that they can flex. You know, the thing is now with the new, with the way the NBA system is, you have a cap, you have a salary floor, and that's going to be somewhere around $90 million once the cap rises in the summer. So what do they do with that $30 to $40 million? You can do buyouts, you know, off of trades, but
that's what they're going to do. They're just going to be like, hey,
that was part of Carmelo Anthony and why the reason why he was able to be released by the Thunder. They traded him to the Hawks, and the Hawks took care of the rest.
Yeah, and they're just going to be we'll take your high price guy that nobody wants. So expect to see Bismack Biyombo and Timofey Mozgov and
yeah. Miles Plumlee, but I was about to say, but he plays for the Hawks. So they got their own. Maybe you can buy him out.
You could, but in the end, you need at least a body. You can't just give it all to 10-day contract people. I mean, I'm sorry, rookie development, whatever.
What would you like to see him do? Because in the free agency market, they're going to find somebody who's like a J.J. Redick who might take $20 million again or something like that. But what would you go after in a draft scenario? Like, what area would you like to improve? I mean, obviously defense, but like, where on the defensive end?
Anybody. They have no defensive prowess right now. Mm-hmm. You have Collins, and that's about it. Bembry, I thought, was supposed to be a little good on defense now. Torian Green was supposed to be a two-way defender. Nope.
Torian Green? I didn't know he was. I didn't know we were drafting the Florida Gators. Maybe we should sign Joakim Noah too. Maybe we can bring Al Horford back.
You need defense and you need shooting and you need bodies. It can't just be okay. This is step one of your rebuild. You got Trae Young. You're happy with your franchise guy. Now you got to put people around him. That's sort of a tough part.
The one thing that scares me about Prince is that he sort of had a reputation for being a good defensive player, and that's what kind of got him on the rise on the rotation in Atlanta when he was under Budenholzer, and he became like a three-point shooter. And that's something where if you want a 3-and-D guy, that's good, but you don't, like you said earlier, you don't want to develop bad habits. That is a huge part of this, because they were 25th in experience. This is a very young team. You don't want to poison the well.
And that's basically how we could wrap it up with that. You said it. Just all their goal is just don't develop bad habits.
Yep.
Give it to Levine circles. Hangs, fires.
Give it to Hot Sauce Zach Levine. Hot Sauce time, baby.
Watch Zach. All alone.
Elevation. Bang, bang, bang.
Adam, the Fred Hoiberg era is officially over for the Chicago Bulls, but the we really, really suck era is definitely not over for them.
I mean, what do you mean Jabari Parker for $20 million a year didn't pay off? What do you
well,
mean?
Hey, at least they traded it to Washington in a quick flurry.
I mean, at least they were able to get rid of Jimmy Butler and get something for him. Well, you know, why they sort of matched Sacramento for Levine, I don't know. The only problem was this team was just pure discord, and you know when they traded for Omar Sheik and said we don't care, we'll eat your second year.
That was when they gave up Nikola Mirotic after he got in a fight with Bobby Portis, who also wound up being traded along with Jabari Parker to
everybody
Washington.
Wound up being traded, and the only one who was good was Robin Lopez. It's like, well, why'd you keep him?
You mean of the ones that they. That were actually on the team in the first place, yeah.
Yeah, like why was he the one lone holdout?
And the other one is Cristiano Felicio, who we already talked about this a million times, got one of the worst contracts of all time. They gave basically a nothing foreign player $8 million a year for 3 or 4 years.
And he didn't even crack the rotation. Oh. And you could say this year they were marred by injuries.
Yeah, Denzel Valentine, who was a first-round pick for him, two or three
also
years.
Also plays.
He did not even. Yeah, he didn't play a game this year.
Yeah, he was out all year. Lauri Markkanen was out for an extended period of time. Portis was, you know, his suspension. You had Chris Dunn can't play.
Here was a bright spot. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah, and that was just a weird. Like, why? This is your core now. You're going with Carter. You're going with Markkanen. You're going with Otto. And Levine. That's your team you're going with for the next 3-4 years? I found that very strange.
Otto Porter Jr., I felt like he did better in Chicago than he did in Washington. Now, Washington had their own issues.
Washington was just a dumpster fire in their own right.
You can check out that preview when we get to them. But basically, Otto Porter jumped from a frying pan to another frying pan. But I felt like he did a little bit better with Chicago. Would you agree?
He did a little bit better, but there was no real plan in Chicago, and they just sort of went with it. And really, Chicago, I think, boils down to their point guard play.
Chris Dunn, you mean?
Yeah, he, as much as it would hurt Mr. Rosero, he has not been a good NBA player.
11 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists ain't bad, and a steal and a half. He did have the injury issues early on. I think it was a knee problem. Am I right or wrong?
I don't know, but and then
you didn't have a backup. The backup was Antonio Blakeney, who I mean he came from LSU, so I'm partial to him, but he was like sort of a shooter more than he was a point guard.
I had Cameron Payne, who just
well, Payne's gone. Payne went to Cleveland. The other guy who got a ton of time, and it'll be, you know, we could talk about this a little bit at, you know, for the small potatoes, is that Ryan Arcidiacono. I can actually see him as a restricted, as a wind up getting paid a little bit more than what Chicago's willing to offer by another team.
Oh, he'll get that Tim Frazier, Shelvin Mack, just above the lower level exemption.
Yeah, well, I at first said Tyler Johnson, then I realized that was an arenas provision deal. No one's going to offer that ever again.
No, and all the people who got offered that deal just didn't pan out.
Chandler Hutchinson was a first-round draft pick also, if you could believe that. It didn't really show much. I will talk about two people that I found interesting, but it was at the very death throes of the season. Walt Lemon and Jakarr Sampson. What are the chances of them cracking the roster?
None, because they were just two-way contract players.
But one averaged 20 points and the other one averaged 14.
Yeah, that was the last week of the season when everybody else was out.
Well, you got to be optimistic, Adam. I mean, this team is trash.
The team is trash, but you have this seventh or eighth pick.
Mm-hmm.
You got a high pick. You need a point guard. You need, you know, they like Hutchinson. They get the promise, so I'll keep. You know, he'll be the backup for Porter now, and you need a center.
I think, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead with the draft projection, but Rui Hachimura or Brandon Clark would probably be a good pick right there.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, Levon Levine, you're not going to get missed behind him. You're not going to get missed behind Porter.
Lauri Markkanen is kind of like he's like new Dirk. He's like kind of a glorified power forward, but like a shooting power forward.
But as I said, they need a center because, you know, I said Wendell Carter. Is he the center? And like I said, Markkanen has just been injured two seasons already. So
he has enough mobility to play power forward in today's NBA, though. You know, but but you would have to draft really another really good big in either in the draft or sign a good one in order to allow Carter to float in the roster so that he can be like a power forward. He could play the four and then, you know, rely on the other guy to play a five because he's, you know, just as big as Carter is. And Carter's a big dude.
Yeah, so but then you're just leaving yourself open to the, well, you're drafting three bigs in 3 years. That's not a good sign.
We talked about this because Robin Lopez is probably gone. You felt like they could have probably done something with a trade slash buyout.
Yeah, they could have flipped him for something.
Mm-hmm, but it just didn't happen. TLC, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, we all remember him. I don't see him coming back. Wayne Selden, we'll see. We'll see about that one. I think he finally found a home in Chicago.
I don't know. Again, what differs him from every other
G League
prospect?
I mean, if it comes down between him, Sampson, and Lemon, I would actually have to think about it.
Oh, yeah, I'd take Selden over the other two, but
yeah.
At the same time, you have a second-round pick you're probably going to want to try to develop.
Mm-hmm. But Levine, he had some decent moments there. Like he averaged 23 points a game. He was on a scoring tear in the beginning of the season. He didn't really hit his stride in the second half of the season was the biggest problem.
No, he hit a wall.
Markkanen looked good though in the second half.
Markkanen looked good, but again, all I can think of is just durability issues now. I need to see something more. And, you know, the one guy we liked going in, we always seemed to like was Bobby Portis, and he can't run out, so.
Yep, so he's gone. So
I don't even think I have a hashtag for Chicago.
Yeah.
Or it's just another, they're just a bad team. Oh, bad Orlando 2.0.
And you say that because of how bad the Magic were, yet they were still using cap space to bring in.
Yeah, you signed Jabari Parker to the huge deal. You're bringing in all this money. You're bringing in all these superstars. Like, well, you're not going to move the needle with any of these people doing.
Their projected cap usage right now is at $81 million. That's right. That's a little below the salary floor. So they have some flexibility to do some things. You just don't want to do what they did last year with Jabari Parker, where you overreact. Now you're stuck with the Otto Porter Jr. deal. Through the trade, and no one, I don't think, is unless we get to 2020 or 2021. I don't think anybody's willing to take on Otto Porter Jr. to take on that money. I think he's kind of stuck there in Chicago.
No, they're happy to have him because
Well, they need a small forward. So
that's the thing. They need a small forward, and you know they're going to swing and miss on any.
If I was optimistic, man, I could look at a lineup like Dunn, Porter, Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. and Levine and think that might be a decent roster, but you gotta have a good bench behind it.
You look at that, it's like, well, that's an 8 seed possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good sign. Is, you know, Otto Porter, you're not gonna, you know, the way they ran Jimmy Butler out, the way the dysfunction, they needed somebody who they could just get and be like, they're gonna keep him.
Okay.
They have no chance of a superstar, so they got built somewhere.
I think this year, you know, they can't strike out like they did with Denzel Valentine and maybe even Chandler Hutchins. They have got to hit good on their lottery pick.
Because they knew they were going to use that foul. This is probably the real play they want to run.
Portis got a pair. Land lost it. Has to fire.
Just happened. All right, the Charlotte Hornets, big decisions to be made on a team. It's weird, Adam, because this is a team that's sort of been in this kind of like, you know, team gridlock for the longest because they had everybody locked in for a long time, like Nick Batum and Marvin Williams and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and even Kemba Walker, who they had on small money because when he had signed his extension, like, quite a while ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, he wasn't what he wound up becoming this year, which was a bona fide, like, star-worthy, you know, type of scorer. Now we have Kemba Walker, who's going to likely opt out, and then we have Jeremy Lamb, who's an unrestricted free agent. He was the second leading scorer on the team, so kind of a big deal here, kind of a big decisions to be made. So for the first time ever, Charlotte's sort of in a bit of a turmoil.
That's kind of sad that Jeremy Lamb was your second leading scorer, and it's really sad that Kemba Walker has to play his mind out and be like playing, you know, James Harden level basketball, only for them to be mediocre.
Yeah, he had a couple of doozies. He had one in Philadelphia. I want to say he scored 60, even though Jimmy Butler hit the game winner.
I remember
Jeremy Lamb getting that crazy game winning half quarter against the Raptors. So that there's one in his pocket.
All their forwards just went nowhere. They're, you know, they traded for Hernan Gomez last year. They don't play him. Kaminsky out of the rotation.
They had very little money, so all they could do was sign Tony Parker. And the reason why Parker went there instead of staying with San Antonio is because they gave him a second year.
Yeah, they gave him a second year and more money for no reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cody Zeller disappeared. And at one point, I thought we liked him. And I was like, oh, he's decent.
I think Zeller is still good. I don't know if he's worth $15 million a year for the next 3 years. That's the concern. Marvin Williams, I think, is the one who's sort of just buying his time. You know, that was the one where I even said it when it happened in 2016, when they re-signed him, I said, man, they are making a mistake. They should have just let him walk. Same with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And those are player options. So there's $28 million down the toilet.
Yeah, they have zero money for any wiggle room. And Kemba, I don't know why he'd want to sign there, because that team doesn't, they don't like, there's nothing they could do for the next year or two to get out of this. They can't even start.
They can't yet, but 2020, I think that'll be the time.
And so you're going to have Kemba Walker, who's in his prime, ready to start post-prime, and you're going to put him with a rebuild. It's just, nothing just does.
Well, the only thing, you're between a rock and a hard place, because the other thing is that because Kemba Walker was on first team All-NBA. I know not everybody's a fan of the fact that being selected by Writers Association and such for All-NBA, first team, second team, third team is like the difference between getting a Supermax and not, which could ruin a team. But Kemba Walker got first team All-NBA, which means that he is up for the Supermax, which is like somewhere in the range of like $40 million a year once you get to like the fifth year of your extension. So because of Walker's age, he'd probably be in his like early 30s by the time we get to that fifth year. Are you comfortable with Charlotte basically begging Kemba Walker to stay, or should they have it in the back of their mind that maybe we can let Kemba walk and just rebuild from the beginning?
That's all they can do is offer the Supermax or offer every penny they can. If he leaves, then you have no other option.
But that's what I'm saying. How hard should they push for the extension?
They have to push very hard, because if not, they're like Cleveland. Their base, Cleveland, is just a mirror to them right now. They have no cap room. You can't start a rebuild. Your team is terrible. You have no future.
But here's the thing. You're just waiting one more year for the rebuild, and then, you know, Batum you can trade. Williams is off the books.
Yeah, but they're off the books. Everybody else has money now. You can't rebuild if five other teams are rebuilding with you and further ahead. So you basically, it comes down to the draft, and Monk, they missed horribly. He didn't bounce back last year.
I don't want to wave the white flag yet on Malik Monk, but he just didn't show a lot of promise in his first year. I do like Miles Bridges, though. I think he's a tremendous athlete.
You are higher on him than I. It's just he couldn't crack the rotation, and then, you know, you wasted your pick on Kaminsky, and
he's an RFA. What happens with him?
Nobody. Who's going to offer him a ton of money?
Well, I know he'll probably just wait it out to sign the qualifying offer, but do you even give him the qualifying offer?
You don't have to.
That's what I'm saying. Should they just turn him away?
Most likely. He was out of the rotation last year. And basically the thing, you know, there's no developmental prospects. There's no young talent on this team. Like you say it's Bridges, but I have yet to see it. And you could say, well, if they show flashes, well, yeah, one game here and there doesn't really mean anything. But basically, you know, I'd say Borrego, they overachieved with him because they just gave him the ball and let him play lights out. But
the head coach changed Borrego.
Is there a system there? I don't know. I don't really know what you could deal with this team.
If you look at the team stats, not really. I mean, the only thing that they stayed firm on, which they did under Steve Clifford, is that they were first in turning the ball over, meaning they protected the ball, but they played at a slow pace. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you don't know if they're really good on offense or they're really good on defense because they're middle of the pack in almost everything, and they and all the other key things that – you know, intangibles that make your team good, they were bad at it. So there's really no identity building that's going on right now. It really just comes down to Walker and also on a smaller level, Jeremy Lamb, who's had a history of like of bouts with playing time in Charlotte, and he finally had his good year in his contract year. What happens with those two? I mean, if Kemba Walker leaves, it's you're inching for a rebuild in 2020. If Lamb leaves but you keep Walker, you might have just enough room, but you'd have to be dipping into the tax, and the Hornets aren't good enough to be in the tax.
No, that's why drafting is super important for them. So yeah. #draft.
They're a worser version of the Blazers is what I'm trying to say.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
After a 2-year hiatus, Dadcast is back.
Dadcast?
JT and Don talk about a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more.
Why are we not on the Dadcast? We almost had our Sixers preview hijacked by a shaking baby rattle. So why can't we do it? Why can't we get invited to the Dadcast? Maybe we should do our own Dadcast. It'll be a dad blast. It'll be just us bitching about being dads for like 15 minutes.
Well, that'll be the Talking Dead. After show.
Is Chris Hardwick still banned for his?
No, he came back.
Fold, but yeah, but no, we need to get on the Dadcast. We need to make a petition.
Talkin' Pop is back, and Tim and Jenny are joined by Stephen Kelly of Songs with Friends for a very special double date and lots of interesting conversation.
Do they talk about pop culture?
I mean, it's better than talking about boring conversation.
Well, are you saying double dates are boring, or is that a double date?
Andy Atherton welcomes Jennifer Smith into the Laughing Theater to watch and talk about the iconic Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber is fantastic. Dumb and Dumber 2 is not fantastic. It's the opposite of fantastic.
Agreed. The hard-traveling fanboys deliver an installment of the Countdown looking at the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I don't know which one that is.
Comic books. You know, on the wrestling feed... The AEW pay-per-view, by all accounts, was a super success. Everybody was happy with it.
I saw Double or Nothing. It was a very good show. It felt like a real wrestling show, not a WWE ripoff show. I'll just put it that way.
So check that out. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a 1997 recap in somewhere, some episode. Mm-hmm. There's stuff on the Place to Be Nation feeds for everybody.
There's always stuff with Scott and Justin and just all of them crew. Greetings from Allentown, I think, is another one that always is up there. So always check out the pop feed and the wrestling feed and always keep tuned in. And then also, I mean, we've got so much content here on our end between Adam and I. We are working hard, making sure that we get as many of these team previews out as possible. So please don't leave us behind. Don't cry for us, Argentina. Is Argentina still good? Or are they pretty much done?
In soccer.
Not soccer, dummy. Basketball.
No, they're pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, poor Manu. I don't even know who is the best player. I mean, who was in that great generation? Was it – it was Prigioni. Or no,
Prigioni, Luis Scola, Pepe Sanchez.
Andres Nocioni. And then obviously Ginobili. And then there was one more that I'm forgetting about that was in that mold. I think you said Scola already.
But I said Pepe Sanchez.
That team was like legit. Even in 08 when they lost in the semis, that team was legit. They were tough to beat.
Yeah, they were sort of a surprise.
If you maxed out Spain's players and maxed out Argentina's players, like if you could do like Time Machine, like which one would you pick?
Spain.
Spain still because of the depth.
Spain just had depth. Another team that had, you know, sort of depth that you forget about is France.
Australia was good, but Australia was like a great defensive team because when Bogut was young, people forget how good. I know people watch him in the finals now, dragging ass, but like Bogut was so good when he was young.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, it's because it's international rules, you could have different players
swat the ball out of the rim and stuff like that.
Exactly. That's why every Eastern European team would just roll out seven foot guys. Just I mean,
even the Australian team in 2016 with Matthew Dellavedova and Ingles, and they were kind of a problem.
Well, they got Dante Exum and Ben Simmons is there, so.
True.
They're still
I want to see Canada make it. Like I'm always holding out to hope that maybe Steve Nash and and whoever Roy Rogers or whoever they got now that they could put something together. But it just never seems to come to fruition for Canada. I don't know where they're at FIBA Americas now.
You have Tristan Thompson who should work in a international format. You got Cousin Jamal, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
Tristan Thompson.
I already mentioned him. You got kids coming up. So their programs
Lindell Wigginton.
They're on the up and up.
But yeah, that's listen to the Place to Be Nation podcast.
Since 77-76, back in the third quarter.
But they know they got to stop King James. That's the deal. Everybody on their feet.
The shot clock has been turned off. 10 seconds remaining. Knicks lead by one. LeBron with 5 seconds, driving on Hazonia. Hazonia with the block! And the Knicks on a 13-1 run. Come back. Defeat the Lakers 124-123. Mario Hazonia returning after missing the last 12 games, blocking that last attempt by LeBron James.
Adam, the New York Knicks. Go.
Okay.
There's going to be these situations where I'm just going to have to lob them to you, and this is going to be one of them. What a treacherously bad team, New York.
They rummaged through all the bargain bins. They tried to find players. They got cheap deals. You got, Moutier off the Denver scrap heap, Vonleh from Portland.
They're two bad deals with Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr., but they had to give up Kristaps Porzingis in the process.
Now, here's sort of the summation of the year. Don't you think if the trade were flipped and it wasn't New York getting rid of them and they offered that garbage for the superstar and they took it, do you think anybody... David Stern would come back and be like, no, that's dumb. I'm vetoing that.
Well, not only that, there's that little small controversy that we're not going to talk about too much because it's very sensitive material about Porzingis. Do you think that would have changed anything?
No, because if you read the story, it looks like somebody's just trying to get money. Whether or not something happened, they both agreed to exchange money, and that's what she's angry about.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, yeah, they sort of got a bunch of parts to unload their team.
Dennis Smith, a first-round pick in the future, like 2 years from now. And who else did they get?
Jesus. They were able to give up Courtney Lee. They got DeAndre Drummond.
DeAndre Jordan.
In the deal. Yes.
Who I don't know why they didn't cut him at the end of the season. Why
I don't know why they didn't
buy him out. That would make no sense to keep him.
I don't think anybody wanted Jordan, to be honest with you. I think that was part of it. They also gave up Trey Burke, who actually played fairly well for him. He played 33 games, and he averaged 12 points a game.
Yeah, they gave up Burke. They gave up Hardaway, who's not bad. He's just a volume shooter, and he is who he is. He didn't ask to make $17 million. So it wasn't his fault. And all of a sudden, here's Porzingis, and we're going to take back Dennis Smith. Well, you already have 2 point guards. You have Moody.
Well, remember, the story behind Dennis Smith Jr. was that instead of picking Dennis Smith Jr., they picked Frank Ntilikina. So some Knicks fans were somewhat happy with that, like kind of the snap judgment on that trade of, we got the guy that we wanted all along. But the reason why they probably were able to get Dennis Smith Jr. lumped into that trade was because he wasn't really showing much in Dallas in his second year.
He couldn't play with
Luka. I don't know if it was too early to give up on him, though.
They couldn't play with each other. I'm not saying it was good or bad to give up on him. It's just sort of strange that you have Mudiay, you have Frank, and you take up another third young point guard, and then the best point guard on your team was Alonzo Trier.
Yeah, Trier.
Trier, Trier, potato, potato. And at first, at the beginning of the year, I was like, look, they got talent. If you could get somebody who turns up good, like Thomas Bryant in Washington and
Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks.
And, you know, Yogi Ferrell when he came from Brooklyn. You could always develop somebody who comes out of nowhere. Even Jeremy Lin a decade ago for the Knicks. You can find somebody from a scrap heap and make him serviceable. Let me look at Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn became famous, and they made the playoffs based upon that. But it just nobody looked good. Like, you know, you still want to defend Kevin Knox just for the Kentucky connection. But he was just like, go out, shoot 30 shots. We don't care. Take every bad shot.
Well, he was your highest. He was like not the leading scorer. The leading scorer was actually, of all people, Manuel Mudiay, 14.8. But then right behind him was Smith, and then Knox was third. But Knox was sort of the one that they had the most. They were the highest on.
But he didn't look like he looked lost on defense. He just looked. He looked incredibly raw. The same thing with Mitchell. Well, Mitchell didn't play college, so
he looked like just another forward, just another scoring forward, kind of like T.J. Warren.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't blame Nick fans for being delusional. It was a tough go, considering they had to, you know, sit through all this. And the only hope you've had for the last 3-4 years was Porzingis, and then, like, oh, we're just going to trade him. Oh, we got nothing for him? Okay, well, we really need to – okay, I'm going to get KD. I'm going to get
well, the
Kyrie.
That's where we're going. It's about the cap space. The cap space is $90 million. So, like – I mean, there's a lot you can do with that, but you also have to basically not take any chances on keeping any of your RFAs, which would be, I mean, not the biggest deals, but, you know, basically you would turn down the qualifying offer for Emmanuel Mudiay and Luke Kornet, Kadeem Allen, DeAndre Jordan, Mario Zonja. They would all be gone. Yeah, and you would basically start from scratch with Knox, Smith Jr., Damian Dotson, and Alonzo Trier, and Frank Ntilikina, a bunch of guards.
And then you have to fight with Brooklyn, the Lakers, the Clippers, and everyone else who has max contract money, which seems to be half the league. So the hashtag I have for them is first Amare, then Melo, now who?
That's a good one because someone's going to take the money, and someone's going to be a flutter about going to play for the Knicks. Oh, they're the Knicks, you know? I know some of the new generation don't really care about the fact that the Knicks at once upon a time were like a premier franchise. They just want to play for a really good team and get paid in the process. But I do think somebody is going to get it.
Finding Chris going to work, trying to navigate, blocked by Allen, Sexton has it, plenty of time, got to kick it back out, undaunted, Sexton dancing with it, going to work, fire, he scores with the left hand right down Euclid, young bull with composure and speed to burn, 118-118.
The post-LeBron era for the Cleveland Cavaliers was not one – it was a sight not to be seen, but because of the fact that we have 30 teams in the NBA, Adam, somebody had to walk in them shoes, and that was the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, it was just ugly. They fielded a very bad team. Well, it started off by first they said that the coach was the problem after they started off 0-6.
Well, how about we start with the fact that I said that they could still make the playoffs with this team? You remember that one? because I thought with Kevin Love and with Jordan Clarkson and with George Hill, I thought they were still decent enough in a bad Eastern Conference at the bottom part.
Well, first off, why were they re-signing Kevin Love to that multi-year deal?
Yeah, they gave him it wasn't super max, but it was a max contract. So he's at like $30 million.
Like, why? There was no reason to do that, and just essentially kills everything you had.
A desperate attempt to make sure a star player stays with your team and is actually willing to put it on the dotted line.
On paper, we could still make the playoffs if you look squint hard enough.
Yeah. They fired Tyronn Lue very early into the season. I don't even remember how quick into it was. Larry Drew took over after that. Then just a whole like bunch of like moves and shakes that didn't necessarily have to be done, but because of the fact that they were like a good like dumping ground during the trade deadline, you had a lot of movement. Like Rodney Hood went to went there. Alec Burks was there for a little while. They traded George Hill early in the season, along with Matthew Dellavedova coming back. Kyle Korver was traded to the Jazz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, picking up Marquise Chris, Nick Stauskas, just a lot of really weird moves that didn't make sense on paper.
Yeah, it did make sense. Their roster, okay, I'll say this about their roster. Seti Osman looks to be a solid pick and looks to be develop into a solid three.
I always mix him up with Ante Zizic. Does that make me a bad person?
Yeah, because most people confuse him with Avika Zubac, who were both centers, who both have similar signing names.
Zubac is another one that the Lakers gave up on when they sent him to the Clippers, and now he's actually playing well, and like everyone's wondering why they did that. But Osman was actually originally drafted by the Cavaliers, if you could believe that.
Yes, he was the first pick of the second round, which is always reserved for a very high...
That was the David Griffin pick, who is now our president for the Pelicans. So.
And Colin Sexton, you watch him, you can see he has no clue how to play. He doesn't know how to play defense. He doesn't know how to play offense.
He doesn't pass the ball.
He doesn't pass the ball. He doesn't know how a play runs, a play develops. He is just relying on his athleticism to get him this far.
But he's a great scorer.
And that is the thing, is he's a great scorer. And it's just, if he wants to sort of learn how to play, he could be very dangerous. Or he might just be, well, he's really good and that's all he is.
He might be Jordan Clarkson, who he has to play with. Jordan Clarkson... He was second on the team in scoring, 16.8 points. He got a bad reputation for just basically shooting whenever he saw the ball. I don't think he did anything to assuage that in the regular season. It was kind of the same thing. Tristan Thompson had a lot of injuries. He only played 43 games, but I could see a scenario where he leaves when his free agency comes up in 2020. Like, how do you feel about Tristan Thompson?
He provides nothing on offense.
Go ahead.
Oh, just rebounding and block shots can only get you so far in this year's NBA, considering he doesn't shoot threes.
Unless you're a playoff team, in which case those two things are vital, but this is not a playoff team. Larry Nance Jr. did resign. What did you see out of Larry Nance? I see a lot of decent stats.
He's decent. I think he might be like, oh, why did I resign with them? I could have gotten this money on the open market kind of easily.
Yeah,
but
RFA, which immediately put him behind the eight ball. I think that was the motivation behind it all.
But Cleveland is so over the cap and in luxury tax, nobody would match it.
Now, that's a good way of transitioning, because that's probably the most interesting part about this team in general. They have $135 million dollars. $135, that's not a lot. $135 million in salary tied up. But a lot of it has to do with potential buyouts, non-guaranteed money with like J.R. Smith. It's like 3.5 out of $15 million. So that's an easy buyout. John Henson, who they picked up in the didn't they pick up John Henson in the George Hill trade?
I think so. It's just like, John Henson's there? Where did he?
He did not play. He was traded there, but he did not play.
Remarkably, the same thing with J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith will be traded, and he will get a high value.
Brandon Knight, I don't know the particulars of his last year, if it's a full buyout, if it's like a three-quarter buyout, but I can see him being gone too.
Oh, they have to get rid of everybody, and that's sort of the problem with Cleveland is, the hashtag...
You still got to spend the money to get rid of them, yeah.
Hashtag the basement has a basement, mm-hmm. Because they're still going down, and they still don't know where the bottom is.
Oh, so they're going to float too, huh?
Oh, it's just a money pit there.
Yeah, it's not going to be as bloody as Pennywise in the It movie, but... Look, we have an It Chapter 2 coming up in the fall. Is this going to be like another It Chapter 2? Is this going to be just another really awful season coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In the draft, they didn't really hit the mark. What pick did they wind up with? The fifth one? The sixth one?
I don't...
It was definitely not in the... It was definitely not the pick that they wanted. They wound up with the fifth pick. So what do you think is they could do here?
They need... guards.
Okay, well, that would be like Darius Garland or somebody like that, or Kobe White.
You could say they need big men, but they're paying their big men too much money as is. So,
and they have Tristan Thompson, so why do that?
Yeah, but they need somebody who's offensive, big. Kevin Love, we just assume, is going to be injured next year again for half
Love,
the season.
I will say for Love, in the later part of the year when he actually played, he looked really good. I'm pretty sure he played later in the year. Am I right or wrong?
I don't know, but he's just the okay, good stats, garbage team type of guy.
I mean, it sounds like I'm going crazy, but I just remember a couple of games late in the year. I know it's kind of in like dropout season, but where Kevin Love put up some pretty decent numbers for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, it's not hard because there was no plan. He had, you know, like you said, they gave the coaching job to Larry Drew, who's like, I don't want to be the head coach. So,
mm-hmm.
They you're just left with, again, Colin Sexton just shooting the ball, not passing, no movement, and they got Steady Osmond. I'll say that.
I mean, that's why, like, I was trying to explain this about the All-Star game. Like, if you had an All-Star game where you had to represent every single team, like they have Major League Baseball, if you had that in the NBA, Steady Osmond probably would have been your All-Star. So, like,
Kevin Love would have been. You have Kevin Love, that's their attempt to, I guess, like you said, to save face, but.
Yeah. But outside of that, yeah, not looking good for Cleveland. The scariest part is the fact that they have so much money tied up in a really, really bad team. But John Beilein, who is a decorated college coach, because as we all know, Adam, all college coaches wind up great in the NBA, so this is going to do fine.
Well, at least he has youth on his side.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.